All right, guys. Well, good evening. Good to have you here for our evening Bible study. We're going to give it about 30, 40 seconds to allow everyone to be able to get online and notice that maybe their notifications have said that the Bible study is now have started. And if it is, good to be here. I had a tremendous Bible study this morning, Brother Preston. I surely enjoyed that. Looking for him to get back involved in that part two next week. That's a blessing. So I don't know about you, but I'm fairly excited about that. But I want to welcome you. First day of April. It's 1 April 2020. And so we're looking forward to our Bible study this evening. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles out, if you will. Take our Bibles out. We're going to look in Acts. We'll be in Acts here in just a little bit. I want to go lesson number two of the spread of Christianity. And kind of looking at the life of Paul revisited, but we're looking at the spread of Christianity. So we're going to be in the book of Acts here, just in a moment we'll be in Acts 13. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon our Bible study here this evening, and then we'll carry on. Let's bow our heads, if you will. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together tonight. Lord, again, we thank you for the wonderful Bible study this morning. We thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed us to have. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for enabling us to reach out to people across the globe through this online service. Father, we want to lift up in prayer all those affected right now with this virus around the world, those that are infected as well. We pray your mighty hand upon them, that you may touch them, dear God, that you may miraculously heal them. Father, we just look forward to the time when all of this is done and dusted, and pray, Lord, that there will be some normalcy brought back into our society, into our churches. But Lord, having said that, I pray that we would be better for when we come through it. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be closer to you than they were from when all this started, and that we would not lose it, Father. We would not lose that diligence to serve you and be close to you when everything is over with. So, Lord, I love you. I thank you. We lift up our families in prayer tonight. We pray for our church members, Lord, our personal families, both here and abroad, and ask that you may be in their life and touch and tender them. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. So as we begin to look at our second lesson here, guys, it's important for us to try to develop a clear understanding of Paul and his ministry and the spread of Christianity throughout the world. So we need to also look at his personality and characteristics with that understanding. Paul would, we understand, would meet Luke and Troas. And essentially, Luke would basically become the personal biographer of the Apostle Paul and his life. The book of Acts is widely about Paul's life. So Luke gives us the meaning of Paul's personality. We see his personal traits throughout the writing of Luke himself, especially his emotions. We begin to see the emotional side of Paul. We see that to study his life closely is to see the emotions that he had, both in witnessing, but especially in his preaching and his teaching and his writings as we begin to look at his letters at a later date. So let's take some time to review these traits of Paul and as recorded by Luke during the spread of Christianity throughout the world. So the first thing that we want to see is we want to see the conduct of Paul. The conduct of Paul. And what I mean his physical conduct in the midst of his preaching, his teaching. I want you to notice with me subpoint number one under his conduct is I want you to notice his hands. Let's look at the references to his hands. Look in first with me, Acts chapter 13, Acts 13, and look with me in verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hands, said, men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. So the Bible tells us that he beckoned, and to beckon means to call or to summons attention. So he beckoned with his hands. Some people have tried to say that when Paul stood up to speak that he put his hand up so eloquently. That doesn't even register with the characteristics of Paul that he stood up as an eloquent orator to present the word. But he beckoned with his hands. He called or he summons that attention. Give audience to what I'm about to say. Look over in Acts 21 with me. Acts chapter 21, and look down in verse 40. Verse 40. Acts 21, we see this yet again. It says, and when he had given him a license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. When they When there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, of course, we have his speech over there. There again, we have him beckoning. We have him beckoning. He's calling attention to what the words that he is getting ready to say. So we see this part in the conduct of Paul, that he is beckoning with his hands. Look there in chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, look with me in verse 1. In verse 1, we see it yet again. These hands of Paul. I'll make a note here in just a minute of why that is so important. Acts chapter 26, and then we're looking to verse 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. He stretched forth his hand. So Paul had a physical characteristic about himself to where he utilized his hands in a great way. And you say, well, why? Why? Well, this is all in the writings of Luke. Luke is recording this in the book of Acts. And there's a reason why he's doing this. There's a reason why he's paying such close attention to the hands of Paul. I'm going to ask you to go back a few chapters there, 6 to be exact. Go back to Acts chapter 20, and I want you to notice something else that Luke writes. So thus far, we've seen twice where it's recorded that he beckoned with his hand. We see that he stretched forth his hands, but I want you to take notice in Acts chapter 20, verse 34. Acts 20 and verse 34, it says, Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities to them that were with me. Luke makes a note to bring attention to the hands of Paul. He said, why is that important? Hands are a picture of man's works. It's a picture of man's labor. He would use these hands in teaching and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to exemplify the goodness of God's grace and the doctrine given to him by revelation. So Paul's hands were vitally important to the ministry. They are important as he began to teach, he began to preach, as he worked, and as he ministered unto people. His hands were seen. They were something that were to take great notice of. They were great in their activities, but he was bringing attention not to himself, but to the gospel by which what he was speaking. Right. So in the conduct of Paul, when we see first, we see his hands. Secondly, I want you to see and look at what Luke writes down. Luke mentions Paul's eyes. His eyes. Turn back to Acts chapter 13 where we began this morning, or this evening. Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 9, and you remember this is Paul's first missionary journey. And the Bible says in verse 9, it says, Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Paul set his eyes on him. This is speaking of Elymas, this sorcerer who by interpretation is named Bar-Jesus. He is the one that kept Sir Gaius Paulus and the whole city in darkness and was trying to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ to come to him. And the Bible says that Paul set his eyes on him. Paul had a way of burning a hole right through someone with his eyes. Look in chapter 14 with me. Chapter 14. He makes great mention of eyes, and we'll understand here why in just a moment. Acts chapter 14 and verse 9, the Bible says, The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Steadfastly beholding him. So this man had heard Paul speak, and Paul himself, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul would use his eyes to study the people and have a way to look upon them as he preached and as he taught. Look all the way in Acts 23 with me. And notice here, as Paul is standing before this council, remember the very type of council that Paul once himself was a member of. Matter of fact, consenting unto the death of Stephen, that we may or may not get to that here today. We'll see how time will hold up for us. But the very council that Paul was a member of at one time. Now he's standing before them himself, being charged with this, with blasphemy and these different things. And notice what Paul says, Acts 23 and verse 1. The Bible says, And Paul, earnestly beholding the council. Earnestly beholding the council. Guys, he didn't shy away. He didn't have his head down. He didn't look into the corner. But he beheld them. He looked at them right square in their face. He looked eye to eye with them of what he stood for. Guys, the eyes are a tool to be used. They are indicators of truth and falsehoods. One once said that the eyes are the windows to the soul, meaning that a man or a woman's true character, their true intentions, can typically be judged by the adjustments of the eyes. Where they look, what they're thinking, when they look away, and even the direction they look in. Truth lies within the eyes. And a soul who stands upon truth has no need to shroud the eyes. Paul understood this. Paul stood for truth. He used those hands. He spoke with his hands to draw attention to the gospel. But he used his eyes to portray the truth into the hearts and lives of those who were listening. Let's look at his voice real quick, thirdly, in the context of Paul. Let's look at his voice. Go back in Acts 14 with me. Acts 14. I know I'm asking you to turn quite a bit here this evening, but that's good. Acts 14 is where we'll be. Luke not only brings attention to Paul's hands, he not only brings attention to Paul's eyes, but he brings attention to Paul's voice and how he utilized that voice, how he preached and how he taught. Look in Acts 14 and in verse 10. Acts 14 and in verse 10, the Bible says, "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly behold him, perceiving he had the faith to be healed." That's verse 10. It goes, and verse 10 says, "And said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet." And he leaped along. Said with a loud voice. Paul wasn't in the corner whispering. Paul wasn't in the corner trying to keep people from hearing. He said with a loud voice, and I don't believe with an arrogant voice, but with a loud voice, projecting it forward so that that man would hear. Look at Acts 16 with me. Acts in chapter 16. Look there in verse 28 with me. Again, we find in chapter 14, verse 10, that he said with a loud voice, Acts 16, verse 28. Acts 16, verse 28, the Bible says, "And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." We know that's the story of the Philippian jailer. Paul cried with a loud voice. He was projecting his voice so that this man would hear, so that he would not harm himself. And we know that story. That Philippian jailer gets saved. His whole family gets saved. Born again, comes these members of the church of Philippi. Look at Acts chapter 19 with me. Acts chapter 19. So we find that Paul said with a loud voice, that Paul cried with a loud voice. But now look in Acts chapter 19 and in verse 8. Acts 19 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But when divers were hardened, believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." So now we find that he is speaking daily, but how is he speaking? Look at verse 8. I just read verse 9. I got ahead of myself. Verse 8 says, "And when he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months." So we find that he, in verse 9, we find that when they spake evil of him, he was disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. We understand that. But the reason all this came about is because he spake boldly, daringly, and freely, yet seasoned with grace. Seasoned with grace. Look over in chapter 20, just probably one page there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart in the morning, and continued his speech until midnight. So we find that Paul would say with a loud voice, he cried with a loud voice, he spake boldly, which means daringly and freely, yet seasoned with grace. But now he spake until midnight. Paul said things full of passion, guys. One could feel Paul as he was speaking. Paul's a very emotional preacher. Yet again, remember, we find to study the life of Paul, the New Testament scriptures are interpreted through his life. All right. I mean, listen to the words of Paul as we see and see if they can be spoken with or without feelings. In Galatians 1, he says, "Let him be accursed." In Romans chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "Great heaviness." In Romans chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "Continual sorrow." Romans 9, 2 and Philippians 1, 7, "My heart's desire." These words that Paul would use, they were used with feelings, with emotions. His hands beckoning people. His hands stretched out forth. His eyes piercing upon them, right square in the middle. But his voice, emotional. much of today's preaching, guys, is without feeling. It's without emotions. And it's having a detrimental effect in the great movement of the Holy Spirit of God in our churches today. Too many will attend church just to tick a box off. Too many men are taking pulpits and doing the same. Right. Emotionless preaching without conviction, resulting with no conversion. So the first thing we see is the conduct of Paul. We see his hands, we see his eyes, we hear his voice, and we can feel his emotions and his feelings that he has for the gospel. But secondly, I want us to look at the continued education of Paul. You know, Paul is the first one to say that he is, you know, that he apprehendeth not, or he has not arrived. He's the first one to let people know that his humility never felt as if he had arrived. And in all fairness, Paul was probably the smartest out of every single one of the apostles. Without belaboring the point, I know, I don't want to repeat what much has already been said, especially last week, but I do want you to remember that Paul was an educated man. He was a highly educated man. He possessed the equivalent of a PhD and attended the school until he was about 30 years of age. Paul's education had become a hard taskmaster in his life. His education, albeit laid the foundation, was very strict, and the teaching became overbearingly painful for a young man. When Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, Paul uses terms as concerning this education as being shut up in. Or in verse 23, he says, that's in verse 23, but in verse 25, he says, we're no longer under this burden of that education or that law. It must have been a great relief when Paul was able to step outside of the schoolmaster, if you will, outside of the law, and reside under grace. But Paul's education wasn't for naught. Paul went to Jerusalem following his graduation in Tarsus, and he enrolled in a 6-year course under the famous teacher Gamaliel. And according to Jewish history, it was Gamaliel's grandfather who started the school. Yet, by the time it had made its way to his grandson, the teaching of Judaism had apostatized into the traditions of men. Paul loved books. He loved to read. He grew up loving to read and to study the Word of God, to study the Old Testament. And this is evidence in the verses that Paul has given us by inspiration. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look in 1 Timothy with me. I want you to see this, what Paul says. Again, I say that Paul he grew up loving to read and loving to study the Scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 13, Paul says this, in verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. A good preacher and a good leader will always be a good reader. It is God's desire for His people to study and to read His Word. As a matter of fact, when Paul mentions, look at Acts 17, we'll look at the verse real quick. He makes a note here of the Bereans, Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 11, I think that's where we are. Yeah, he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Pastor Ellis always taught us that don't just take my word for it. Go home, search the Scriptures, find them out. If you hear what I preach and you teach, and then go home and study and read and study and read. And if you find anything that you don't understand or anything contrary, come down, sit down with me, and we'll work these things out and see maybe, hey, if I'm in mistake or if you're just misunderstanding something. That's what these Bereans did. And I conveyed the same thing to our church, conveyed to our church here in the States, search the Scriptures daily. As a matter of fact, Denise and I, in our early years of marriage, we would take the Sunday sermons and Sunday Bible studies, and that would be our Monday morning, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning Bible devotion before I had went to work. And that's what we did. And then we, same thing on Thursday and Friday, our Bible devotions would be the message or the sermon from Wednesday night. And it laid a great foundation to search the Scriptures and to study and search them daily. Paul deals with his abilities to teach through reading. If you can turn quickly over to Hebrews in chapter 5. Again, I know that I'm asking you to turn quite a bit. But I think it's good for us. I monitor my time. I won't go too long this evening. We're on point number two, the continued education of Paul. We have one more major point, but I'll monitor my time and see how far we get along. And leave that one off maybe until for next week. But here's chapter 5. If you look there in verse 11 with me. Verse 11. The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful, watch this, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul deals with his ability to teach through reading. He's dealing with his ability and those that he is teaching that they should be reading and studying the scriptures, studying obviously his letters. He's saying, guys, you know what? You should have been reading and studying and learning these things, because as long as you've been saved, you should be teachers of the Word of God now. But because you haven't given attention to reading, man, you're just like babes. I can't, you know, you're unskillful and strong meat. You gotta need the milk, if you will. So Paul had a strong desire for a continued education in the Word of God, as we all should as Christians, and we should grow in grace and grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if you in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 12, Titus chapter 1 and in verse 12, the Bible says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. I'll back up and give you the context of this. Notice that he says in verse 7, he's speaking of a bishop here, a pastor. A bishop must be blameless and the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angered, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, who are the gainsayers? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, he says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. What's Paul quoting? Paul's quoting philosophy. How did he know that? Because he gave attendance to reading. He read and he studied. We see the very same thing as Paul was in Athens when he was preaching and teaching in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, as he was preaching on Mars Hill, he quoted different philosophers there on Mars Hill. Acts 17 and verse 28, and I'm already there. He simply says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Paul is using Greek poetry to tell him of the Holy Scripture, saying that your own poets have even said that we're of his offspring. Why? How does Paul know this? Because of a continual education, because Paul gave attendance to reading. Paul studied. He's not only studied the Word of God, he studied things in the world. He learned things in a great way so that he could be a better student and a better teacher of the precious Word of God. So here's what we've seen thus far here this evening, is that we've seen the conduct of Paul within the spread of Christianity. Luke brings special attention to his hands, his eyes. He brings special attention to his voice and how he used it to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. We see the continual education of Paul and how he was continually reading, continually learning, continuing to exercise his faith and his knowledge in the Old Testament scriptures and taking his education that he already received so that he could improve himself. So next week what we're going to get into is we're going to get into the character of Paul and how Paul's life was molded by one man. It was molded by many men, but specifically what we're going to look at next week is how Paul's character in the ministry was molded by a man on a faithful day. And that man is Stephen. So guys, I want to thank you guys for joining us here this evening for our Wednesday evening Bible study. Do hope and pray that what was heard already today is a blessing to you both this morning and tonight. So I'm going to dismiss in prayer this evening. And again, thank you all. Whatever prayer requests that you may have, Guys, please send it our way. Remember our prayer request page on Facebook, which is called Sarah and Cares Prayer Request. Those of you who are part of the prayer request on the WhatsApp group, make sure you send your prayer request into there as well so that we can steadfastly pray one for another. We want to continue to pray for our communities, pray for our valley guys, our village, pray a hedge protection around our men and women and children against this virus at the present moment, guys. We want to keep everyone in prayer. Keep obeying the rules, you know, only leaving when absolutely necessary to get supplies and maybe to exercise once a day. So let's bow our heads, guys, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity and time to be together tonight. Lord, I love you. Praise your wonderful name. I thank you for the testimony that you've given us in the Holy Scripture through the life of the Apostle Paul. I thank you, Father, for the many blessings that you've given us, both in this present time, Lord, and times past. We look forward to what you are holding for us in the future. So, Lord, I ask you as we continue to move forward in this venue and online services, Lord, I pray that you bless and allow it to reach and touch people's lives and their hearts, dear God, in a mighty way. So, Lord, we give you honor, praise, and glory. Thank you, dear God, for all that you've done. Again, we lift our families up in prayer. Please set a mighty hedge of protection around them. Guard them and guide them. Order their steps, my Lord, and we'll give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and who you are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And again, thank you guys for joining us tonight. We just under 30 minutes for the Bible study and the time of prayer. Again, want to remind everyone, we will be having online services live at 11 a.m. this coming Sunday. And then yet again at 5:30 or 5:30 on Sunday evening. And so continue to keep up with all the Bible studies, if you will, and the services. Our Easter service will be a week from this Sunday. We'll be sending out a post and information for that. And if you can, invite as many people as you can online to attend that online service for our Sunday morning Easter service on the 12th of April. So guys, Lord bless you. We love you. We'll love you and leave you at the present moment. And have yourself a safe and healthy evening, guys. Remember, follow the guidelines. And if you need anything, guys, if you're struggling out there at all, please send in a prayer request, and we will lift you guys up in prayer. We'll do everything that we can do to continue to support and pray for everyone. God bless you guys. See you soon.